The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Oh, nice. So, I wanted to offer some reflections today in the honor of, inspired by today being the first day of spring. And I know that because the Persian New Year is today, also the day of first day of spring. I'm Persian. I was born in Iran. And the moment of change of the year is the first moment of spring, which happened this morning at 9:59 a.m. Pacific time. Yeah, it's interesting because with the Western the Gregorian calendar, it's 12 midnight everywhere, right? Whereas with the Persian calendar, it's the same moment everywhere, no matter where you are in the world. So that's kind of cool to think that everybody's celebrating the first moment of spring when this, you know, Earth is aligned with the sun in a particular way. So anyway, so today is the first day of spring. Happy first day of spring, if you haven't noticed. The weather and longer days, thanks to standard time. The idea of spring, the idea of growth, renewal, and nature growing, I mean, it's just... California, you don't notice it so much, I guess. The seasons, it's pretty much, 70 degrees, 60-some degrees every day, year-round, sunny. Okay, maybe we get some rain in February, but still. Getting a sense of nature that it is spring, and in winter, trees... basically, time of death, the leaves fall and die, and in the spring, time of regeneration and growth, and it happens every year. It's nature. It just does its thing. And there's a law. There's a law, and there is a way in which things happen according to law in nature. We can't stop winter from happening. We can't stop spring from happening. They all happen in their own time. The earth rotates according to laws. And we're part of nature. We are nature. This human body is nature. We grow, we are born the way that we grow in our mother's womb. If our mothers tried to grow us, design us, they couldn't, they wouldn't. It's just nature. It happens. We happen. This miraculous body, this miraculous being that we are, it's nature. We have nothing to do with it. I've often wondered, and then with amazement, when I get a cut on my hand and it just regenerates, the body knows exactly what to do. Haven't you wondered? Have you noticed? It's just amazing. If I tried, I wouldn't be able to do it that well, obviously. Who's I anyway? So appreciating and realizing that we are nature. This body is nature. We grow up, we grow old, we die. It's just part of the cycle. Appreciating the impermanence. Appreciating the impermanence. Here's a quote from Sally Tisdale from Washing Out Emptiness. As Buddhists, we work to accept the impermanence and inevitable decay of the physical body, but it's not enough to accept it as a fact. We can believe in this and still not want it in plain sight. Nagarjuna said, "Change makes all things possible. It is only because of change that suffering can end, and it is because of change that our bodies fall apart, like all compounded things. We cannot have one without the other, but we try." So we try to stop nature. We try to not to resist change in our bodies. We try to resist change in our lives. But it is nature, and we are part of nature. Another aspect is that I was thinking about nature is Dharma as a natural law. The law of seeing the truth of how things are. The truth of impermanence, the truth of unsatisfactoriness in dukkha, everything that's satisfactory becomes unsatisfactory, and the truth of anatta, selflessness, the selfless nature, not self, which, again, uncontrollability of this body. It's not ours. It's forever changing. We can't stop our digestion. We can't stop the regrowth. We can't, there's so many things about the process of the body. And similarly, so many things about the process of the mind that just is. Sadness arises when we hear bad news. It arises. It's a natural part of the gamut of experience. It flows in and it flows out. And if we try to resist it, then we get into resistance. I shouldn't be sad. I shouldn't be angry. This shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't. Whereas if we see it as the natural law, it's just the natural unfolding of things, and allowing and accepting things as they are, as they arise and pass away. Not to say that we shouldn't have intentions and intentions to act, of course, but recognizing that things arise, that there is a peace and ease in accepting nature as it is, both the nature of our bodies, the nature of our minds, and the nature of life. It allows for a certain peace and ease of not taking life and not taking things so personally that it's not about me and mine, and I have to control my body, I have to control my hair, I have to control my thoughts, I have to control the emotions that arise. Accepting things as a part of nature, as a natural unfolding. And also there is appreciating nature, appreciating things as they are. So when we are in a contracted state, when we're contracted, then we are in a very tight space of going over thoughts over and over, or emotions over and over and over, instead of opening up to the mystery that this life is, to the mystery that this amazing life is. I'd like to share a poem from Ikkyu. It's called Rain, the Snow, and Moon. Every day, priests minutely examine the law and endlessly chant complicated sutras. Before doing that, though, they should learn how to read the love letters sent by the wind and rain, the snow, and moon. I love that. Appreciating nature as it is, and opening up to it, opening up to the mystery and the miraculousness of our existence, of this body. This poem specifically reminds me of my very first retreat at Joshua Tree, led by Jack Kornfield, more than 10 years ago now. And I was a complete novice. I had just started Vipassana meditation. I had been meditating in other ways for a long time, but I had started Vipassana meditation that year. And I remember being going to the retreat and really taking on the instructions, and there was. There were some instructions about just opening up to nature and being present in the present moment and really opening up to nature. And I remember part of my practice had become just walking around the desert, Joshua Valley, Joshua Tree is beautiful for any of you who've been there. And just enjoying the desert and watching the birds and listening to the birds and just being in the very, very present moment and just opening up to this beautiful, amazing nature in a way I had never done before. And I wasn't quite sure if I was doing it right. I had no clue, but I was doing my best to interpret the instructions and being the present moment and with senses like hearing, sensing, seeing. So I remember going to Jack and reporting, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm just enjoying nature. And he's like, great, continue doing that. That's fantastic. So I pass on the words of Jack Hornfield that it's spring. It's a great time to do practice in nature. Just go out, just listen to the birds. Be in nature, smell the trees, be in the present moment, open up to be in this amazing, mysterious world in the present moment. And spring is such a great time for doing nature practice. So I encourage you to do that and see how it feels, see how it enlivens you and allows you to get in touch with your natural state, with your nature, with the true nature of your heart and mind, which is peace, which is openness, which is compassion. It's peaceful in there. It's just that we mess it up. We take it as like one of these globes, or what are they called? Snow globes, exactly. They're settled. That's the state. That's a natural state of our mind. It's just that mostly in our daily lives we take it and we shake it up. Have you noticed sometimes? I've definitely noticed in my meditation. I just came back from a month long at Spirit Rock, the month of February. I was sitting, and it was just so interesting sometimes to be sitting in meditation, and the mind is calm. And actually, once I noticed it very clearly. So I was sitting in meditation. I had taken my glasses down, and I had put them right by my cushion in front, and the mind was peaceful and calm. And I noticed that the fellow person who sat next to me came in late to the meditation hall and started to walk in front and go and sit next to me. And all of a sudden, from in this very calm, quiet, happy mind, the thought arose, oh, I put my glasses there. What if she walks into it? What if she crushes my glasses? Oh, these are the only pair of glasses I have. And what would I do the rest of the retreat with a pair of glasses? And then I have to replace them, but I don't have the same insurance, and maybe I can't. So I'm going off, and then I stop myself after a little while, thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. She hasn't stepped on the glasses. She's been sitting. So the peace, the mind has no shame. It just decides to go off on a thought and just steers up. It likes some juicy story to get all excited about. Whereas, the alternative is peace. Have you ever found that happens to you? Anyone? Yeah? Well, thank you. I think it's good to recognize that, and it's good to see that, and to see that that's what our minds do. It's the evolutionary process that we are beneficiary of, because our ancestors, they had to plan, they had to think in order to survive, all of that. And here we are, we have this brain, we have this process that just catches on to a stimuli and it starts to think and starts to develop stories. So this is what we have. But it's good to know. So it's our nature. It's not personal. It's not personal. My mind does that, and your mind does that too. It's not personal. It's just something to recognize and work with. Getting lost in thought is like this. Getting stirred up is like this. So another reflection that I wanted to share with you in this theme is in terms of the mystery. Let me start by sharing this quote by Albert Einstein. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand rapt in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. I love how he points to the sense of mystery and awe about this natural world, about our experience, and not just about the nature outside, this amazing world that we have found ourselves in as human beings. We just, you know, we've just been dropped here without a manual. Hello, you're human. Good luck. And not just the sense of mystery about the world, but about our existence, about the mind, the sense of awe about the workings of the mind, which really helps arise a sense of curiosity about the workings of the mind, to see when things arise and pass away, to be curious, to have a Zen mind, beginner's mind, as Suzuki Roshi put it, to not take for granted, say, the habits of our mind. Oh, here I am again feeling angry. Here I am again feeling bored. Oh, that old thing. No, having curiosity about it. Okay, what it's like to be bored. What does boredom feel like in the body? What does it feel like in the mind? What is the nature of it? So having awe, curiosity, and not taking it personally, studying the nature of our mind as if it is nature. It's not just ours. When anything arises, say when boredom arises, boredom. This is what boredom is like. It's the nature of boredom. It's the nature of anger. Nature of sadness is like this. It's not personal. This is what sadness is like. So investigating it as if we're investigating nature, as a universal phenomenon, not as a personal phenomenon. And that helps make it less personal, less sticky. It's because it's not just, we're not just investigating our mind when we're doing this practice, when we're doing meditation. We're investigating the nature of mind. So having that perspective allows us to see the truth of how things really are in general, not just about our own mind. In terms of nature of nature of wonder, I mean miraculous existence, I want to share a poem by Hafez. Actually, it's by Daniel Ladinsky, inspired by Hafez. And as you know, Hafez is a Persian poet, so again, Persian New Year, fitting into a theme. The name of the poem is Deepening the Wonder. Death is a favor to us, but our scales have lost their balance. The impermanence of the body should give us great clarity, deepening the wonder in our senses and eyes of this mysterious existence we share and are surely just traveling through. Hafez would call for drinks, and as the master poured, I would be reminded that all I know of life and myself is that we are just a mid-air flight of golden wine between his pitcher and his cup. If I were in the tavern tonight, I would buy freely for everyone in this world, because our marriage with the cruel beauty of time and space cannot endure very long. Death is a favor to us, but our minds have lost their balance. The miraculous existence of form always makes the illuminated ones laugh and sing. So So the idea of the mystery, the idea of embracing the natural law of impermanence and impermanence being a favor to us, impermanence of the seasons, and impermanence of our bodies. It's also the theme of what is the nature of our minds, and in Tibetan tradition especially, the nature of mind is thought of to be timeless awareness and vast compassion. And there's a story I want to relate to you. I don't know if you're familiar with Mingyur Rinpoche, who's many of you are. I see many heads going. So Mingyur Rinpoche is a Tibetan Lama who, when he was 13 years old, he started, if I'm not mistaken, is three-year retreats in a row, which puts our three-month retreats to shame. So, and then he had been teaching in the West quite a bit, and actually, he was coined as the happiest person in the world, because I think Richie Davidson put him in his, in an fMRI machine, and it turns out that the activation of his brain was like way, 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 way off the charts. So anyway, he had been teaching and very busy, and he had been talking about wanting to go on retreat, and on retreat as a mendicant, as without really letting anyone know where he is. So about a year and a half ago, he leaves his home in the middle of the night without telling anyone where he's going. He doesn't take his passport, he doesn't take any money, he just leaves. He just goes off to live the life of a begging monk without anyone knowing who he is. So no one knew where he was, and recently, apparently a few months ago, a family friend sees him and recognizes him and begs to spend some time with him. And he allows him, so they spend some time together. And he writes a letter that this friend brings back to Rinpoche's mother. And this is a paragraph from that letter that I'd like to read to you. "I myself am wandering without any fixed location, staying in isolated mountain hermitages, and other such places. I have experienced feelings of happiness and suffering, rising and falling like waves on the surface of the ocean. At times, food and clothing have been hard to come by, and I have felt cold, hungry, and thirsty. Even when I have begged for alms, I receive nothing but insults and harsh words. At other times, I have received food and clothing effortlessly, without even asking for them. And in my mind, it felt as though I were enjoying the pleasures of the gods. While I have experienced both happiness and suffering, the most important thing is that a deep and heartfelt sense of certainty has arisen in the depths of my being, such that no matter what happens, I know that the true nature of these experiences, their very essence, is that of timeless awareness and vast compassion." So when we open up to the deep nature, the deep nature of our mind and existence, and without any of the shakings of the globe that we often do in our daily lives, I think we do tap into this vast compassion and timeless awareness. And I think it can be available to us also in moments, it may not be continuous, but in moments we can contact it, we can touch it, we can reach it. So I'd like to invite you to do a guided reflection, a guided meditation now, if you like. Try it on for size. And then afterwards we'll open it up to discussion and comments, whatever you observe. So sit comfortably in your meditation posture, relaxing, softening the body, allowing your spine to be upright, yet your body as relaxed and soft as possible. Allowing your breath to be soft and relaxed. Traveling gently, naturally, through your body. Allowing yourself to settle with each breath. Into a more and more natural state of ease and relaxation in the body. Opening, allowing, softening. Now allowing your attention to come and settle on the sensation in your body. Might be your hands resting on your legs, or the feelings in your legs as they're folded or touching the floor. Allowing the feelings, the sensations to be felt, to be sensed. With curiosity, as if it's the first time you're sensing them. It is the first time in this moment you're arriving in this body. Sitting here right now in this body, in this moment, has never happened before. This is a new moment. Embrace it with its freshness, with a beginner's mind. Letting these sensations in the body, in this body, be sensed from the inside. Now, the way you would sit comfortably in a chair in a movie theater and with your eyes observe and see the movie. Now imagine this is a different kind of movie that you don't watch, but you feel. It's the movie of the body, the sensations. They're just unfolding. Not necessarily yours, just a part of nature. This is what it feels to have a body. This is what it feels like. To have legs touching or hands touching the legs. See if experiencing the sensations in this very moment in time, in the present moment, would allow your mind to open up to the naturalness of the sensations. How they're being sensed is part of nature. And now, turn your attention to the awareness that is naturally knowing these sensations. There's nothing that you have to do. Awareness is spacious, natural. And the sensations of the body are naturally sensed in the space of awareness. Awareness is natural. You don't have to do anything to be aware. It just is. Same way that you're aware of the sound of my voice. See, there is no doing required. There is no doing required. Allowing yourself to rest in that lack of need for effort. Resting in the natural sense of knowing. So, there's more I can say, but it would be wonderful to hear from the community some observations, some thoughts, if there are questions, what that felt like, anything you sensed. there is so much wisdom in this room. So let's share that for the benefit of all beings.
I always enjoy when I'm tricked into effortlessness. It's that you set up the conditions so that happened, and I realized that it was happening. It's very nice.
Thanks for sharing that. It's I like how you said being tricked into effortlessness. Because we often use so much effort when we're meditating. It's so effortful. Bring the mind, collect the mind, bring it on the object. It's got to be here, tighten the body. It doesn't need to be. It can be effortless, recognizing that the mind just is open naturally, awareness naturally senses and sees. So just letting ourselves rest in that space is so much easier.
My snow globe can get pretty blizzardy.
Yeah. Thanks, Marie.
It really resonated with me what you said about springtime and just how beautiful it is. And we are so fortunate to live on this peninsula where there is so much to see, like Edgewood Park is one of them, or just down Kenyatta Road, and or just in my yard, I was noticing like all the new buds are coming up, the tulips are coming out. It's just, there's so much beauty here if we can slow ourselves down to look at it. And it's, the weather's just been incredible the last couple of days, so I just thank you for reminding about the first day of spring.
You're welcome. And thanks for beautifully talking about the beauty of your garden. And it's all around us if we slow ourselves down. I love how you put that. Thank you. Yeah.
What I noticed was when we finished and you asked us to think about it, I felt a surge of energy in my body coming back, more tension. So allowing, sitting with it and allowing was really a place of refuge and just, even though everything that came up wasn't all joyful, when I went into the experience, I was feeling things. And I was thinking about the physicality and the physical feeling, like my feet touching the floor and the ground and the hands. But then it took me into emotions in a way. Mm-hmm. I deeply felt I felt open to seeing them and compassionate to them instead of pushing them away. And it all happened in, 4 minutes? And I think what was interesting is when we came out of it, and you started to ask us questions, that's when I started to have my old self back.
Thanks for sharing. And it's so wonderful to tap into how available it is to you, right? That other way of experiencing being, that openness, that tapping, that allowing, that opening. How easily, you said it was just in 4 minutes, right? It was it's right there. It's so available. The beauty of it is it's available at the same time. If we drop into it, if we allow ourselves to drop into it, to drop into this natural state, it's available all the time. Isn't it magnificent? It's just,
great.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I've been sitting all day thinking with sadness and a sense of loss about something, and struggling the day through what to do about it, how to take care of it. And as I was sitting here just now, I just recognized, you know, this is just sadness. It's nothing personal about it. There's nothing I need to do about it. There's a release, a very nice release.
Beautiful. It's exactly that. Yeah. When we see it, the nature of emotions for what they are, without resistance. Thank you.
So I'm in a pretty transitional period of my life right now. I'm going to be going to college in the fall. So as I came out of it, I sort of began to think of like the context of my experience and how I have so many associations that kind of affect the quality of my experience. Well, they don't actually. There's not, like, I have such strong associations about something that I forget to really look at the experience for what it is.
Mm.
And, like, how to, I can just let go of all that and all the thoughts about the context and the quality that I might have or what I'm supposed to feel or think about a certain situation and just, like, appreciate the experience for what it is.
Great. Nice. Thank you. Yeah. No comment from me needed because you said it so well. It's exactly that. It's okay, I'll say something. It's really that freshness, really experiencing the moment, the experience for with freshness for what it is, with all the preconceived notions. And if we can remind ourselves to do that, I mean, doing it isn't so hard. It's remembering to do it, which is a little harder. Yeah, thank you. Other thoughts?
When you mentioned the snow globe, I think of what happens to me sometimes. It seems like I put my head on the pillow and the thought pops up, you know, the thing that I could be concerned about. And not sure where to take that at the moment. And people have been having such positive experiences as I did, so I hate to mention that, but it is part of my reality that, you know, that happens for me. Not all the time, but sometimes. So,
let me make sure I understood you correctly. So you were saying that when you said put your head on the pillow and a thought pops up, it's a natural way,
as I'm about to go to sleep and feeling pretty relaxed, I can lie down and something will pop up in my head, and sometimes it's like, okay, you have to pay that bill tomorrow, and and sometimes it's like, well, what's going to happen about that?
Yeah, great. So I'm glad you brought this up, because that too is part of the natural unfolding of the mind. The thoughts come up, and so not to resist that, but also to see that. Oh, thinking. Oh, worrying. Oh, okay, worrying is like this. To see that, and that brings ease to it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because that, again, is a natural, it's just how our mind, thought bubbles, snow globe, all of that is just part of the, yeah. Thank you. Other thoughts or questions, reflections?
So I think I'd like to add maybe the most important piece to what I said a moment ago. And that's, I'm not sure how to say this. Let's see if I can make sense of it. So I described throughout the day this sense of loss, and it was accompanied by thinking. And all of that thinking was about what I should do, mm-hmm. or I needed to do, or how to fix it, or that what was happening wasn't right. And all of that was suffering.
Mm.
And I've noticed this before, but it was very clear that my thoughts are the suffering. The emotion, the arising emotion, being with the emotion, it just is what it is. It's all that thinking that comes along with it, that's the struggle.
It's the second error, right? The first error is whatever is arising, could be sadness, or which might be unpleasant in and of itself, but the second error, which is really the painful one, as you're pointing out, is all the thinking and all the, this shouldn't be happening, what should I do? Yeah, thank you. Any last minute thoughts, questions, reflections? Okay, so I invite you to close your eyes the last minute or two of our time together and offer yourself an appreciation and your own sense of goodwill to yourself for bringing yourself tonight and being part of this community and taking another step in the many steps that you take along the path to awakening, along the path to be aligned with your highest intention in the world. Allowing yourself gratitude, kindness, appreciation, wishing yourself well, and extending that good wish to everyone in this room who's shared this space with you tonight, and extending that sense of goodwill radiating out for all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy, safe, and free from suffering. Thank you all.